here's a story from The World.
Once upon a time, there were no languages. Then at some point in human development, we began speaking to each other, eventually in ways that followed grammatical patterns. I'm not sure when irregular verbs enter the picture. There are theories about how language evolved, but the truth is, nobody really knows. Today, however, we know a little more thanks to a language that only came into being recently, Nicaraguan Sign Language.
My name is Yuri Shepherd Kegel.
Yuri is 29. She's deaf. She's signing these words to her adoptive mother, Judy, who's interpreting for her.
Right now, I'm at home in my home in Maine. I've lived here 13 years. I'm from Nicaragua.
Yuri was born without hearing. She didn't communicate much for the first few years of her life until she went to a school for the deaf.
When I was 4 years old, I entered the school, and that's where I started to learn Nicaraguan Sign Language.
So how exactly does Nicaraguan Sign Language tell us more about the human history of language and communication? Carol Zoll has our report.
The story starts in 1979. There was a left-wing insurrection in Central America.
Victorious Sandinista rebels marched into Nicaragua's capital city of Managua today.
In 1979, there was what they refer to as the triumph of the revolution. The Sandinista government took over.
That's Judy Shepherd Kegel, the woman who was interpreting for her daughter, Yuri. Judy teaches linguistics at the University of Southern Maine. Back in 1979, she was a young researcher. It was in the years after the revolution that Judy first got involved with Nicaragua. The new Sandinista government had big plans for their country.
They were involved in all kinds of promotions to get a fourth grade education for everyone, get people literacy, improve health care. You know, the literacy rate was horrendous.
As part of this drive for literacy, the government started providing special education for deaf kids in public schools. This was brand new for Nicaragua. Previously, most deaf children were completely isolated.
Deaf people were hidden in the homes. I mean, deaf people weren't even going to the churches. There was a real stigma.
But now, for the first time, hundreds of deaf children were brought together in a few schools in the capital city, Managua. Suddenly, there was a community of deaf kids, all trying to communicate with each other. And this is where the new language emerged. These kids, who had never been taught sign language, started signing with each other. Judy was invited by Nicaragua's Ministry of Education to come observe them. And the first place she went was a vocational school.
When I walked in, I said, "I'm a linguist. What do you want from me?" And they pointed to a bunch of kids milling around on a little basketball court in front of us and said, "We want to understand what they're talking about."
Now, not only had these kids never been taught sign language, but there just wasn't any sign language in Nicaragua. At all. At school, the children were being taught lip reading in Spanish and were told not to use gestures. But outside of the classroom, on the playground, on the school bus, they had found a way to communicate. They were gesturing with each other, using the signs they'd used at home with their families. Judy's role was to observe the students and try to figure out what they were saying.
So I was allowed to just kind of go into these classes, and I just watched what they were doing, and I could be there all day.
When the kids realized that Judy was studying them, they befriended her, started teaching her their signs. But as Judy began to understand them better, it seemed to her that they didn't actually have a full-fledged language. It was more like an elaborate system of gestures. After a couple of weeks, Judy went to see some younger kids at an elementary school.
And there, that's when I saw something very different.
The younger children were communicating much more fluently than the older kids, which is not what you might expect. Usually we think the older a child is, the better their language skills. But at this elementary school, the very youngest kids were actually the most fluent. It was as if fluency was going backwards. Judy knew that this is something that can happen when a new language comes into being.
And that made me realize, wait a minute, what am I looking at here?
Judy concluded that what she was looking at was the emergence of a brand new language. Judy believes that the younger kids were in the critical period for language, meaning their brains were very receptive to learning. They had spent lots of time with the older kids and been exposed to those gestures and signs that the older group was using. Judy thinks that that was the trigger for creating the new language.
The kids who really benefited from that input were 4, 5, 6.
Those children had no way of knowing that those gestures and signs weren't really a language.
So they learned it. It wasn't a language, but their brains filled in the holes of what was missing.
This is key to Judy's understanding of what happened. She believes that as long as we're given the right stimulus at the right time, our brains will produce language. And what she observed in Nicaragua confirmed that belief. In the decades since Judy's first trips to Nicaragua, many other scholars have traveled there to study the new language too. And because there was a new group of kids entering the elementary school in Managua each year, researchers have been able to compare successive generations of signers to see how the language has been changing over time. Molly Flaherty is a psychology professor at Davidson College. She's looked at how the size of the language has been changing from one generation to the next.
Yeah, like how large are the physical signs?
Flaherty asks people of different ages to describe the same event to her to see the differences in how they sign. She uses motion tracking technology to follow the position of people's wrists in space to measure the physical size of the signs.
So what we see in Nicaragua is that older signers, they sign larger than do younger signers. So that means like when they're articulating the same sign, their hands actually cover more space.
Molly thinks the change has to do with the older signers, the ones from the earliest generations, wanting to make sure they were understood, because larger signs would be easier to see. Younger signers today don't have that same pressure. They do expect to be understood.
Because they share a language, the way that the vast majority of us here on Earth share a language with other people.
And that means that other factors can start to influence the language. Molly says that older signers are aware that the language is changing, not just the size of the signs, but also things like vocabulary. And at least some of them think that the younger signers are getting it all wrong.
Within the Nicaraguan sign community, you still, you know, will interact with people who will talk about how the kids are being so messy and so sloppy in their signing, and they're, you know, clearly ruining the language in this way or that way, just like you find everywhere else on Earth.
Studying these changes helps researchers test theories of why languages develop the way they do. And the fact that the language has emerged so quickly is striking.
It's not like it takes 100 years to get a language off the ground, and that's really good to know. That means that language is so integral to our human experience that basically give it half a chance to emerge, and it will.
Another reason linguists are fascinated by Nicaraguan Sign Language is because it allows them to study the way that children's brains influence language. When children are learning a language, they're not just passively absorbing words.
They're actually really active interpreters of the language that they're learning. They're analyzing it, and they are finding structure there, even sometimes when you didn't intend to put it there.
Children look for patterns in language, and when they find them, they favor the ones that occur most frequently. And in this way, over time, children drive the way a language develops.
Since kids are the primary language learners, they are the ones who are selecting for what stays in language, essentially.
That means that children have an outsized influence on language. Not just Nicaraguan Sign Language, but any language.
To think about the fact that this integral product that we all use every day, all day, may really be shaped by the youngest minds and by the youngest people in our world is, I don't know, I like that idea that we're all using this creation of children all the time and we don't necessarily realize it.
And that, of course, is what Nicaraguan Sign Language is, the creation of children. For The World, I'm Carol Zoll.
From PRX.